Do you suffer from painful heavy periods, PMS, mood swings, or migraines? Are you tired of being told they are just normal parts of life? Or are you afraid your child's going to suffer these symptoms too? At Vividus, the Full of Life company, we take the pain, misery, and confusion out of those menstrual cycles and replace them with tools of empowerment and time management so you can be Vividus. Visit embracingflowpodcast.com for more information on transforming your cycles from ow to wow. Information shared on the Embracing Flow podcast is for educational purposes only. It does not constitute medical advice.
Ever felt frustrated being told PMS, heavy bleeding, and cramping are just normal parts of life? You are not alone. I loathed my monthly cycle for decades. That all changed when I earned 3 health coaching certifications, discovering something incredible. Your period is vital. It is an outward sign of your inner health, and it holds the key to unlocking your full potential. I've been there battling heavy, painful periods, and I turn them into cycles with minimal PMS and cramping. Today, I'm on a mission to share that information with you. Pour a cup of your favorite drink, get comfy, and grab your headphones as we embark on a candid and empowering journey of self-discovery. Together, we'll demystify menstrual cycles, explore cyclical living, delve into natural birth control, and guide parents through those crucial period talks with tweens and teens. It's time to break the taboo around menstruation and embrace the wisdom it holds. I'm your host, Heather Allmendinger, and this is the Embracing Flow podcast.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us on Embracing Flow. I'd like to introduce our guest today, an expert at Embracing Flow, Eve Hall. Welcome, Eve. How are you doing today?
I am great. How are you today?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you so much for asking. So Eve is on today because she is a licensed physical therapist that treats sexual health conditions. She has a podcast called Please Me that aims to destigmatize conversations about sex and sexual health. Eve believes there is no shame in sex and no shame in having a sexual health condition. Eve loves to talk about how we all deserve love and pleasure. I love it because we do deserve love and pleasure. Eve, I've been looking forward to this podcast episode because it's just, we had a great connection and I love what you bring to the table for my listeners. So again, thank you so much for coming on Embracing Flow.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to have this conversation with you. Let's get into it.
As I start all of the podcasts, would you share a story of one of your first cycles and your experience and what age?
Absolutely. So I was 10 years old, so pretty young. I was in sixth grade, I remember, and I went to the bathroom and lo and behold, in my underwear was a mountain of brown stuff. And I thought for sure that I had pooped myself. And I knew all about my period. And, you know, it wasn't like I didn't know what it was. I just was expecting it to be red. And so, of course, from day one, I had horrible, painful periods. And that day was no different. And I remember going to the nurse's office. And my mom came to pick me up and she sent me home. And my grandmother was visiting. And so I guess my mom had told my grandmother, unbeknownst to me, and I went into the bathroom and I took off my yucky underwear and I threw them in the garbage. And again, I was only 10 years old. And, you know, I walked out of the bathroom and not but a few minutes later, I hear my grandmother calling me into the bathroom. And she was going to give me, you know, my first lesson on taking care of your period, which is scrubbing out the blood from your underwear.
I remember that lesson.
And yes, and I remember she, you know, explained to me how to do it. You run it under cold water and you scrub and scrub and scrub with soap until all of the blood comes out. And I just remember being mortified because I was not expecting my grandmother to even know that I had my period, let alone give me a lesson in scrubbing blood out of my underwear. And it was extremely embarrassing. And I just remember that was my very first period. That was my story.
That, yes, I can definitely see how someone would be traumatized by that. I really do. Had that experience helped you in where you are now? Has it, looking back, been a catalyst to you getting into physical therapy and then sexual health and sexual issues? Or did another path bring you to where you are now?
You know, that particular story, I can't say was directly related, but I did have an experience as a child of childhood sexual abuse. And I do think that that, and, you know, at that time when I had my period, that's when, interestingly enough, the abuse stopped. So my period sort of, you know, was the beginning of being on the other side of that sexual abuse. However, it was the beginning of me trying to heal from it. And so through a lot of healing and through a lot of therapy and journaling and meeting with groups, et cetera, over the course of many years, mostly in my 20s, I would say, I, you know, was able to heal from that abuse, but it was a very long process. And I think it's a journey, really, honestly. You know, it's something that I still am peeling layers upon layers off of healing. And I've noticed that, you know, since I started my podcast about a year ago, the guests that I've been speaking to and the people that I've met have actually really helped me to even further heal from that sexual abuse. And, you know, so sexuality was something that I was always very aware of as a young lady and at an early age. And certainly it piqued my interest in the subject. And so after my divorce, I started exploring a lot more sexually. And that made me want to focus my practice in that arena. So now I do physical therapy for sexual health.
And how do you incorporate that physical therapy into sexual health? What are some of the conditions that you're seeing of clients where physical therapy does help?
Absolutely. So one of the most common diagnoses that I see is incontinence. And you don't really think of it as a sexual health or a sexual related condition, but it really is. It does affect your sexual health. If you have incontinence that's more severe, it is going to affect your sexual health. So that's one of the conditions. I also treat conditions like erectile dysfunction, decreased vaginal sensitivity and dryness, painful sex. And I see women who, you know, have maybe had cancer and have had surgery in the area, or even breast cancer that they've had radiation chemotherapy. That also affects women because it sets them into premenopause or early menopause. So they have to deal with all of the symptoms of that. And one of the main ones is incontinence.
And I've heard that incontinence can be from loose pelvic floor muscles as well as tight pelvic floor muscles. Is it just the pelvic floor, or are there other ligaments and parts involved with that incontinence?
Yes. So the pelvic floor plays a big role, and you're absolutely right. It can be very tight. And on a tight pelvic floor that's spasming, you don't want to do physical exercises. You want to relax the muscles, not give them more exercise. So it's really important, if you do have incontinence, to see a therapist, because you may not know that you're having muscle spasms in that area that are causing issues. So incontinence, you know, can affect women in many different ways.
And in all ages, correct? It's not just for those that have had children.
Absolutely. So a lot of people think it's like an old lady problem, right? And yes, as we get older, it becomes worse. But, you know, it's believed that, I think it's the statistic, and correct me if I'm wrong, the listeners out there, because I said this on another podcast one day, but I think it was 40% of young athletes, women athletes, experience incontinence when they're actually doing exercise. So when you're doing strenuous exercise, that can also cause incontinence too. And that's, you know, women in their 20s. And again, it goes up as you get older because you lose estrogen. And estrogen is so important to keep the tissue healthy.
And that kind of goes into then the vaginal atrophy that you've mentioned, I believe, before, that our vaginal canal kind of loses elasticity and ability to function at an optimal level with those estrogen levels. Is that correct?
That's absolutely right. Yes, yes. And vaginal atrophy, if you think of atrophy in any other muscle of the body, right, you think of like a nice big bicep and, you know, your muscles popping out. But then if you stop exercising, it just like diminishes and it becomes smaller. Or if you see somebody who has a cast, you know, and they are wearing that cast for like 6 weeks or 8 weeks or something. And when they get the cast off, the muscle of the calf muscle is like really tiny comparing to the other one. That's muscle atrophy. And that happens because the muscles aren't being used. And, you know, if you think of the pelvic floor as a whole bunch of muscles and you think of the vaginal canal as, once again, a tube full of muscles, it can also atrophy. So if you don't use it, you can lose it. So exercising that part of your body and staying strong in that area is so important, and having the right amount of estrogen, because the estrogen receptors line all of that area, you know, the lower part of your uterus, your vaginal canal, and also the tube that goes from your bladder all the way out of your body. There's estrogen receptors all along that tube. So if you don't have the proper amount of estrogen, those tissues become weakened and they can become very papery and thin and very prone to tears and small, you know, breakages, especially if you're having regular intimacy. But if you're not having regular intimacy, that can also cause atrophy because you're not giving the tissue enough tensile, you know, repetitive movement for it to stay strong. It kind of just like collapses on itself.
So we hear about Kegels or Kegels. Mm-hmm. That's just one part of the pelvic floor. That just works one part of the pelvic floor, correct? There's other exercises that are to be done that to help with the pelvic floor?
Yes. So there are so many different exercises that you can do. And, you know, there's fast exercises. There's slow exercises. There's exercises that help you with your endurance. So holding the contraction. So there's many different exercises that I teach my clients. And I also teach them exercises to do when they're actually up and moving, because, you know, not every time that we need, you know, to strengthen our pelvic floor, we're laying on our backs. It's not a practical position. So you want to do these exercises in motion, when you're lunging, when you're doing jumping jacks, when you're, you know, jumping rope. The times when you are actually challenging yourself, and those are the times that you have those oops moments, those are the times you want to do those exercises as well.
You said about with the vaginal canal that using it, and for those that don't have a partner, is there some way that they can work those muscles without having a partner or engaging in intercourse?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there are so many different toys that are out on the market. And actually, I just updated my website, pleaseme.online, and added a whole bunch of really wonderful toys on there. And, you know, you can use a dildo internally. There's vibrators that can help you to, you know, stimulate externally and internally. But definitely using a dildo of some sort can help you with that particular issue that you're discussing.
And one of the things that we discussed off recording was intercourse during menstruation. It is a very taboo subject because menstruation is taboo. But this is even a step further. And the benefits we get as females when having intercourse while we're menstruating. What are some of those benefits?
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. Well, First of all, decreasing the pain that you may be having. So if you have painful periods, this can help to decrease the pain. You know, because there's wetness there already, you don't need as much lubrication, although blood can dry up. So keep the lube close. And I always say keep the lube close no matter what, right? Yeah, absolutely. You know, decreasing the pain. And then, of course, if you're having an orgasm, right, you're releasing all of those feel-good chemicals that are going to help you to de-stress and to feel good. So it's going to help you have a better day.
that it can, because, yeah, it does. It's been shown, scientifically shown, orgasm helps with headaches. It helps with pain. It helps reduce just the stress that we're under. And it also releases those endorphins and the oxytocin. So we're feeling closer to our partners if we're engaging in that type of activity with our partner or even with the toys. It makes us feel warm and juicy. And who doesn't want to feel nice and warm and juicy as we start our day or end our day?
Especially and when you're on your period. Yes. And when you're on your period and you're not feeling the greatest, right? That is the perfect time to want to feel juicy in a good way, right?
That is so, so true. One of the things that I kind of want to go back to is, how did you get into physical therapy? Would you share that story with us?
Sure. I did fitness for many, many years and, you know, worked with many people that were, you know, trying to get their bodies strong and healthy. And so working with people that had a disability or a dysfunction of some sort was sort of like the natural next step for me, you know, because I already was very much a fitness nerd, I would say. And I was very much into fitness. So, you know, physical therapy is fitness for people that are not feeling good, you know, in one way, shape or form. It was just a very natural progression for me because I liked helping people with exercise and fitness. And, you know, when you think of the pelvic floor and you think of, you know, helping people with sexual dysfunction, it's a lot of the same. I'm teaching exercises. I'm teaching strategies. To maintain their health and to, you know, have a better health in that arena.
So with our partners, I mean, that's kind of jumping a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
How can we communicate with our partners on when it comes to our pleasure?
I think that's so important. And I think that a lot of us don't do this enough. And that's why there exists such a large orgasm gap. And, you know, I'm sure that you're aware of what that is, but I will explain it here. The orgasm gap is a phenomenon where in heterosexual relationships, women are having much less orgasms than men. So in, you know, there's different categories of statistics, but I'll just go through one in coupled penetrative sex. Women experience orgasm about 56% of the time where their male counterparts, experience orgasm about 95% of the time. So, you know, there's a huge gap. And so it's very, very important to express what your needs and your wants are. And the first thing that I say women must do is get in touch with their own sexuality and their own bodies and learn to masturbate and learn to come and, you know, climax on your own. Because only through that will you be able to relay that information to your partner and share it with them. And, you know, I know that the first conversation is always really the very, very most difficult one. But after that, it becomes much easier and each subsequent conversation builds on the last. And so, you know, I suggest that people start small and maybe, you know, give the highlights after you've just had sex with your partner, right? Give the highlights of the things that you really enjoy because you really want to focus on giving them positive reinforcement and giving them, you know, tips on what you really enjoy so that they could repeat that and never, ever fake it. It's believed that 80% of women have faked orgasm in their lifetimes. And if you're faking it, you're actually teaching your partner what you don't like. So don't fake it. Even if they ask you, so were you able to get there? You know, it's okay to say, not this time, you know, but hey, we could use my toy and get me there now. Do you want to hold it here? You know, and bring them in, you know, because they want to pleasure us. And I would say that for the most part, our partners do want to pleasure us. So really giving them some information about what turns us on is important because they cannot read our minds and we can't expect them to.
Nope. And we'd want the same thing, that if they would like something and we don't, I mean, if they would come to us and say, well, we want this, or why don't you do this? It's like, I didn't know that you wanted that. And it goes both ways and it opens up that door and it builds intimacy and it builds connection. So yeah, I wholeheartedly agree on that conversational piece.
Yes, it's so key.
Kind of going back a little bit with the vaginal dryness and sensitivity and the decrease, is there a way to regain that once we notice it?
Yes. So there is a treatment that I do called acoustic wave therapy. And this treatment is so good for helping to increase vaginal sensitivity and dryness. And the reason why we get dry down there is because there's a lack of blood flow. And if you think of erectile dysfunction, right, and there's no blood flow to the penis can't get up, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a very obvious issue with men. But with women, what happens is that there's a decrease in blood flow. And so the blood is what brings lubrication to the area because the walls of the vagina, the plasma seeps through the walls of the vagina to lubricate the vaginal canal. And externally, the vulva and clitoris, et cetera. So it's so important to have proper blood flow. So what the acoustic wave therapy treatment does is it unblocks the blockages in your blood vessels. And it also allows over time for more blood vessels to be created. So that's called a new capillary formation. And so if you get the treatment over time, over, you know, multiple sessions, you know, it's going to help that blood flow, which is going to also help with the lubrication and the sensitivity. The sensitivity will also return as well.
That sounds like a wonderful thing for so many individuals, that they have that ability to do that, to bring back life to themselves and their bodies, and even that time with their partner.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, who doesn't want to be intimate with their partner until they're in their 80s and 90s and beyond, right?
Exactly.
I mean, we want love throughout our whole lives. You know, it's not like suddenly you get to a certain age and you're like, okay, I'm done. You know, you know, you want to be able to love each other for a long time. So it's a beautiful thing to be able to reconnect in that way. And many times women haven't connected with their partner in years in that way because they were having pain or they were, you know, not able to, you know, have enough lubrication. And so it was too painful or uncomfortable and, or causing a lot of different infections, et cetera. And so people sort of write it off instead of really looking for solutions. And this is a beautiful solution to that problem.
And it brings back self-confidence though as well. Because if you know that you're able to give your partner what they're looking for, and you're feeling good yourself, that it does increase that self-confidence. You're changing lives.
Absolutely. I think so too. And I love helping people with, you know, this area of their lives because I get to hear the stories, you know, of how, you know, I have one client that says he's never had, you know, he's having the best sex of his life after getting treatments with me, you know, and prior to that, he never really enjoyed sex. So to change somebody's life, and he's only 40 years old, but you know, he's lived 40 years of not enjoying sex, and now suddenly he's enjoying sex. And you know, women that I work with as well, they're feeling, you know, juicy and wet again when they weren't able to feel that way anymore, and having less you know, infections and less pain during sex, and they're enjoying themselves. And I think that that is just a fulfilling thing for me as well. I really enjoy helping people in this arena because I know how important sex is in my life. And I know that if I wasn't able to have sex, it would make me feel very sad. It would be a big loss for me. So helping people in that arena is really important. And you're right, it does give you confidence. And I like to call that confidence big clit energy. And, you know, it's the confidence that we feel when we're having regular sex and having wonderful regular sex with, you know, frequent orgasms. And, you know, when you have an amazing sex life, it makes you feel confident in yourself and it makes you feel confident in your partnership. And it helps to translate into all the areas of your life. So you really have confidence in the boardroom, in, you know, the conferences that you're giving, or whatever it may be that you do.
I wholeheartedly agree. When it's just that extra wall of foundational support that you don't realize you need until it's not there. And once you rebuild it, you're like, wow, okay, that has a bigger impact on my life than I had anticipated. This has been absolutely phenomenal, Eve. Where can individuals find you for services or listen to your podcast or get to know you better? Where can we find you?
Absolutely. You can find me on pleaseme.online, and my podcasts are all there. I'm also on YouTube, so you can watch the videos of the podcasts there. And anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, you know, Listen Notes, you name it, I'm on there. Audible, you know, I'm on all of the different platforms to listen to podcasts. But, you know, if you want to go check out my website, pleaseme.online, I also have some really cool freebies on there as well. And I can go into that if you want me to explain.
Yes, please share with the audience what you have available.
Yes. Yeah, so I have an amazing store on there with lots of really cool toys that I've curated with a friend of mine who has a beautiful online store. And so lots and lots of really fun sex toys to add to your practice. I also recommend several different products to help with vaginal health. And some of them seem very obvious, like the hormones. and that's the estrogen that I personally take and the progesterone that I personally take. And I highly recommend to others to really give that tissue, you know, all of the, you know, hormones that it needs to be as healthy as possible. Then I also have some nutrition products on there that I also recommend. And then I have another separate tab of free webinars that I've done. And those webinars cover things like, you know, how to get big clit energy and how to get big dick energy and how to have wetter and wilder sex, et cetera. And there's maybe 5 or 6 webinars, and I add to that on a monthly basis. So check those out. They're really, really informative and a lot of fun.
I love it. And all of those links can be found in the show notes. Before we leave, do you have any wise words of wisdom to share with us?
I do. And, you know, we were talking last week together, and I, you know, really appreciate the topic of this podcast and talking about women's menstrual cycles and embracing them. I think that is the biggest thing, because I feel like for such a long part of my life, I was constantly doing things that, you know, were maybe medical treatments, like taking the pill and, you know, all of these things that were, you know, maybe not the best thing that I could have done. I wasn't embracing my flow. I was trying to tamp it down, you know, and really trying to learn, you know, the natural cycle of your body and get in tune with that, because you can really affect yourself in such natural, beautiful ways and be in touch with your femininity and your divine feminine by really becoming in touch with your cycle. So I just wish I would have known all of this, you know, 30 years ago. But I know it now and I get to share it with others. And so I would say just, you know, trying to get in touch with your natural flow would be a beautiful thing for all women.
I thank you for sharing that and allowing the audience to hear that. It was life-changing for me. It's been life-changing for you. And hearing it from someone else is always very heartwarming. And I appreciate hearing that. Those were amazing words of wisdom to end on. Thank you so much, Eve, for taking us on this enlightening journey into sexual health and just being sexual beings. It's been a beautiful, beautiful journey. So thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome.
Again, all of the links that Eve shared can be found in the show notes. Thank you, listeners, for joining us today and spending your time with us. If you found a nugget of wisdom or a moment of empowerment, my mission is accomplished. Do you know someone who could benefit from this information? Please share Embracing Flow with them. And until next time, my friends, love hard, laugh often, and as always, be vividous. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Embracing Flow. If you enjoyed this episode, please follow the show, submit a rating and review, and share it with your friends. Visit my website to receive your free PDF on 4 ways to decrease PMS. The link is in the show notes. Until next time, love hard, laugh often, and as always, be vividous.
Information shared on the Embracing Flow podcast is for educational purposes only. It does not constitute medical advice.